Thank you and be seated, please. I'm John Byers, and what a joy it is to welcome you to worship this morning at Conyers First United Methodist Church, especially if you are a guest in our presence today. I hope a couple of things will happen. First of all, you know this is a safe place where you can explore your untapped spiritual potential. And secondly, that this is a warm and welcoming place where you can actually belong. This morning, I'm completing my stewardship teaching series, which I entitle Re-Exploring the Essential Element of a Faithful Life. And each week, we began with a re-word. I like the re-words in the Bible because most of the time, they speak of a do-over. They speak of a new beginning. They speak of a new opening, a new possibility for our lives. And this morning we come to conclude our time together. And I just want to give you a heads up. At the end of the service this morning, I'm going to ask you to join me in the great privilege of responding to God's goodness by making a commitment to the ministry of this church for 2012. And I'll give you more information about that at the end of the service. As we prepare for our study today, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the short but powerful letter of Paul to one of his co-workers named Titus. Now, I invite you to look it up in your Bibles, look in the table of content. If you're sort of familiar with the New Testament, you'll find 1st and 2nd Timothy. Those are pretty big books. Right after 2 Timothy is little book of Titus. And I want us to look specifically today at Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. And I invite you to follow along. This morning I'm reading from the Good News translation of the New Testament. And St. Paul writes these powerful words. He says, "For God has revealed, demonstrated, shown His grace for the salvation of all people, the entirety of humankind. That grace instructs us to give up ungodly living and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this world as we wait for the blessed day we hope for, when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will appear." Now, verse 14 is what I want us to really look at today. I think in some ways you can say verse 14 is the gospel in miniature. Paul has already said that God's grace, God's love in action has been revealed to us. And in verse 14, we see four specific ways that God has made His grace known to us. Follow along. Christ gave Himself for us. Why? Number one, to rescue us from all wickedness, to make us a pure people who belong to Him alone and are eager, your translation may say zealous, eager to do good, and the clear implication is for the sake of other people. Not only do I believe verse 14 is sort of the gospel in miniature, it's sort of the entire series that we've been looking at in miniature today. Let's look at that as a matter of review. The first re-word that we looked at in this series was redeem. The Bible says that Christ gave Himself. Christ reveals the heartbeat of God, which is always to give, always to reach out, always to encompass, always looking for one more person upon which He can shower His grace. Christ gave Himself, first of all, to redeem. What does the Bible say? To rescue us. From what? A wicked life. Now there are lots of ways, I guess, we can define wickedness. You define wickedness one way. But I think the most wicked thing we do, the base of all of the wickedness that we experience in our lives, stems from that first sin of the Bible, that sin of radical selfishness. Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve in the opening chapters of Genesis? God unleashed His ultimate grace on Adam and Eve, said, "You can have it all. But I ask you to avoid, to refrain from, to stay away from the tree in the center of the Garden of Eden. Well, Adam and Eve just couldn't be satisfied. And they indulged their selfishness to say, I've got to have it all. Do you know something about the sin of selfishness in your life? Thinking life's all about me. Being wrapped up in the straitjacket of materialism. Having eye disease, not EYE disease, but the letter I disease. I think it's powerful that God says Christ came, first of all, to redeem us from a life that only leads to disappointment and to brokenness in relationships. But secondly, St. Paul says that God in Christ came to restore. That's what we looked at the second week in this study. Paul goes on to say, Christ gave himself to rescue us from all wickedness and to make us a pure people. I'm so grateful for the many, many people who want to come and share their heart with me in person, in my office. The many, many who share their heart with me on the back of the connection card, asking me to enter into their lives and pray for them. And there's a sense in which almost I can distill the majority question that is asked me. In the midst of the mistakes I've made, in the midst of the brokenness that has marked my life, can I be made right again? Is there any possibility that I can start over? Is there any chance that I can have a new beginning? Friends, the answer to that from the heart of God revealed in the Bible, the answer to that from my heart is yes. In fact, that's the mantra of the Christian faith, that we can be restored, born again, born from above. You and I can have a do-over in life. Tomorrow does not have to be like it was yesterday. You and I, through Christ, can really be restored. Not just to a right relationship with God, not just to a right relationship with others. Friends, I think the most powerful promise that God gives us is that we can be made right with ourselves. The disappointment that we feel with ourselves. The mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa that we feel within ourselves. The guilt or the shame, the regret within ourselves can be restored to hope because of Jesus. Then in Paul's magnificent exposition here, he says, not only can we be redeemed and restored, but he gives us reason to return to God. Listen to the way Paul puts it. Christ gave himself for us to rescue us from all wickedness, to make us a pure people who belong to him. As I listen to people, as I watch those whom I love so much in this church, as I watch others, heck, as I even think about myself, I think one of the greatest issues that you and I deal with from a spiritual perspective, from an emotional perspective, is insecurity. I guess I'd be kind of afraid to ask for a show of hands, but does anybody know something of a sense of being insecure? Oh, good! I'm not the only one. I know that there's a lot of insecurity in relationships. I wonder, is there any couple left on earth that still like each other? Is there a couple here that still really likes each other? Well, I'm glad one or two hands, I think. I see through the stage lights. Because I hear week after week, nearly day after day after day, the heartbreak of relationships where the trust has been broken. And when trust has been broken, we descend into a state of insecurity. Do I matter? Do I have value? Can I trust what my partner is saying to me? God in Christ wants you to know that there is a rock-solid relationship of trust. There is someone to whom you can give yourself freely and fully and without reservation, and it's the Lord Jesus Himself, and based out of that relationship of secure trust, everything can be different. You're valued not for what you are or even what you can become. You are valued simply because you are an unrepeatable miracle of God. Now, if we're honest with each other, we're still all in the process of being remade, right? Redeemed. Let me use some colorful biblical language. St. Paul says you and I are cracked. Pots. It's not my language, that's Paul. St. Peter says that we are a peculiar people. It's not me, that's Peter. And to both cracked and peculiar, I say amen. I am both cracked and peculiar. But God loves me because He loves me. And He sees the value that I have simply because I belong to Him. I know there's a lot of insecurity in relationships today. I know that this generation is dealing deeply with inner insecurity, and that causes so many of the debilitating habits and addictions that we develop. It's all a reflection of our sense of insecurity, inadequacy. Jesus is someone to whom you can return and rest the whole weight of your faith on His everlasting arms. Well, if these three rewords are the truth of Scripture, and I believe they are, if they are the truth of our God, a desire to redeem and restore, an invitation for us to return to Him, then we conclude this series this morning with the last reword, and that is to respond, to act on what He has done for us in Jesus, to live into the promise that He has given us in the Bible. And I love this last phrase. If we are redeemed and we are restored and we have returned, then this will be the mark: our eagerness to do good. To do good, not because we're supposed to, not because we have to, not because we're commanded to, but because, get this, because we want to make an investment in the lives of others. Because we want to say thank you to God. Because we want to identify with a mission that is larger than our own little selves. How do we do that practically? Well, some would say we're eager to do good with our time, and I'm all for time, and we have so many great mission opportunities in the life of our church, and it thrills my heart to see the mission heartbeat of this congregation. But the problem with time alone is that time is singular. Are you aware that there is a plural way that you can advance the kingdom of God? Not just with your singular time, but by the plural gift of your resources. And so I want to suggest to you today that if you and I are to develop our eagerness to do good, God gives us a clear pathway, a clear example of how we can do that, and it is with our material resources. Not only to honor Him with the tithe, a dime for every dollar to say thank you, but a method by which we can fight against the inherent materialism that has touched and trapped all of us at a certain level, made all kinds of promises, and yet failed us every time. I was in business school earning a BBA when I heard the call of God. And one of the required business courses was marketing. And many of you have been through marketing classes, you are marketers, and I learned a phrase, a deadly phrase, a debilitating phrase, a phrase that every marketing firm in the world loves, and it's the phrase planned obsolescence. Do you know what planned obsolescence is? Everything you buy is designed to give out. Why? So you'll buy something else. The problem is, there's a promise made, and it lasts for, and then it lets us down. And the problem with too many good people is the trap of this constant cycle of planned obsolescence. Is there something greater that we can participate in, we can enter into, that will bring eternal rewards? Yes. It's our willingness to fight against the inherent materialism of the world. Hold the possessions that we have very lightly. Hold them with an open hand. Hold them saying, God, I'm real clear that you're the one that's given me strength and ingenuity and opportunity to have what I have. God, I'm real clear that you're the source of my blessings. And God, because I'm real clear of that and because I'm real grateful for that, Lord, I hold on loosely. And I choose to give to you a dime for every dollar investing in the life of someone else. I think the mantra of every little kid that I know is the mantra that we continue to harbor even when we're a little bit older. And it's three words. I bet you know these three words. Get, get, get. Somebody say amen to get, get, get. You know, I saw my first Christmas commercial on television yesterday. We are fixing to launch into the get, get, get season. Oh, we claim it's the give, 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 but it's really the get, get, get. Oh, I long in my life to hold on to my stuff loosely, acknowledging that God's given it to me, and offering to him a dime for every dollar to say, God, I want my gratitude, I want my witness to have a plural effect through the lives of other people. If there was one word that characterizes the heartbeat of our God, it's to give. Hey, didn't we see that already in Titus chapter 2, verse 11? For God has revealed his grace for the salvation of the world. How? God in Christ gave himself. If you're not totally convinced of that passage, I bet you're convinced by John 3:16, aren't you? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. If you and I want to develop more clearly, more definitely the character of our God in Jesus Christ, then the principle is really clear. Choose to give, not because you have to, but because you want to. For just a minute this morning, I want to talk about why I give and why I am eager today to participate with you in returning my commitment card, choosing to give a dime for every dollar of the blessings that God has given to me. Three things I want you to notice. First and foremost, I want to say to God, God, you matter to me. You're number one in my life. I'm real clear that I'm nothing without you, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful. And Jesus says there's a tangible way that we can do that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, your stuff is, wherever your resources are, there the desires of your heart will be also. You know, it'd be real easy for me to be just like super materialistic. Now, let's be honest, I like my stuff, but I am so glad I'm not defined by my stuff. I am at the age, I'm at the experience in my relationship with Christ that the greatest joy that I have is in giving to others, and especially through this church. The knowledge that right down below us, because of the excellent work of Stanley Davidson in our children's department, that little boys and little girls who are judged because of the way they look, because of the resources they have or do not have, because some don't have a mommy or some don't have a daddy or some have two mommies and some have two daddies, and they deal with being ostracized, that here they find the open arms of loving Christian men and women, where they learn their value has nothing to do with what they are, but whose they are. My heartbeat is for kids. I can't be down there to greet every little child. I try to on Wednesday night, but I cannot on Sunday morning. So I give, and my love is magnified. In this room, young men and women who are teetering on the brink of peer pressure, teetering on the very real possibility of becoming a part of a gang, teetering on the possibility of wanting so badly to feel accepted, so badly to feel wanted, that they're willing to sleep with somebody, to have a sexual encounter, to somehow feel valued, somehow feel wanted, that in this room, with Reverend Andrew and our youth department, they find a better way to live, a system of values and priorities that are more important than what their friends are saying. I'm glad to know that in this facility, we host families that are in need through our Prevent Child Abuse Rockdale program. Because this building is here, because utilities are offered, because lights are on, because insurance is paid, because the restrooms have supplies, we're able to host classes in bringing families back together again that have been terribly shattered. My heartbeat is for families that are shattered. I'm so grateful that when people come to a place where their bodies can no longer function the way they used to function and they can't come to us, our church goes to them. My heart says you're not forgotten. My heart says you're valued. My heart says the love of Jesus is with you through this church. I'm so glad to know that we have missionaries that are spread around the world that we specifically support through the life of this church. I can't go everywhere, but my witness can be multiplied through my giving to speed missionary men and women to show, to demonstrate the love of Christ wherever they go. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. So secondly, this morning, when I give, I want to say, God, my heart is for your people because your people matter to me. And I am so grateful to know that when I give a dime for every dollar, lives are being changed. I get to see some of it, but I trust that through your church around the world, thousands, millions of lives are being changed for good. I think about our missionary team that goes to Honduras every February, and to see the faces of little boys and girls, dark hair, brown skin faces, with smiles this big, they have nothing. To see a team from our church dig a latrine because they have no place to go to the restroom. Seeing a team from our church build a chimney in a one-room house so that the smoke from the open wood grill doesn't cause a baby to develop asthma from breathing in wood smoke. God, I want you to know that my heart is for your people and your people matter to me. There's an incredible relationship in the Bible between saying we have faith and showing that faith. St. John, my favorite gospel writer, puts it this way in his little book called 1 John. We love because God first loved us. I wonder if we could say we give because God first gave to us. If we say we love God but hate others, then we are liars. Now, when I was growing up, my mama said I couldn't use the word hate and I couldn't use the word lie. That means mama said those are really, really, really strong words reserved for really strong situations, but those are the exact words that God is using here through Saint John. If we say we love God, but we don't love His people in tangible ways, then the truth is not in us. For if we love God, for we cannot love God whom we have not seen, if we do not love others whom we have seen. The command that Christ has given us is this: whoever loves God must love others also. I'm so glad that I'm not at the place in my life that I feel like I must love others. I want to love others. To multiply the hope of Jesus Christ in their lives. But thirdly, I give because I want to say, God, you can trust me with more. Jesus is speaking here about a relationship between what we give as a measure of what we receive. Jesus said, give to others and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. I want you to hear me real carefully. I pray God to bless me with material resources. I ask Him to bless me financially. Why? Because I know the good this church does. And I want to be trusted with more so I can give more. Not just up to the tithe, but moving beyond the tithe, learning what it means to really sacrificially give for the sake of other people. I was visiting with our bishop in Durban, South Africa, attending the World Methodist Conference, and we were talking about that as we are seeing all the incredible work that's going on around the world in the name of Christ and specifically in the name of the Wesleyan tradition. And the more I heard, the more I wanted to respond. This mission and that I wanted to get involved in the favelas of Rio de Janeiro, a medical mission. Other missions that I wanted to get involved in the mountains of Nepal. Our newest Methodist church has just been established in the country of Nepal. Getting involved. And I said, Bishop, I just want to be involved in so many of these things. And he and I were talking. He said, just ask God for the resources. God is looking for men and women He can trust to pour His resources through for the sake of other people. So I pray that God will bless me materially, that I can be a blessing to other people. If it's true, as we've said in this particular series, that re is the essential element to a faithful life, then this morning I want you to live into that belief by giving you an opportunity to respond to all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And at the end of the service, I'm going to invite you to bring your commitment cards and place them here in the bowl. These are estimate of giving cards. I'm aware that some of you who may be in a retirement relationship are getting a raise in January. Maybe you don't know exactly what that raise is going to be. These commitment cards are always an estimate of giving, and they can be changed at any time simply by calling our church office and speaking with Brad Wells. But these estimate of giving cards are not only our response to God, but helps our church plan responsibly for the mission and ministry in 2012. If you listen to contemporary Christian music the way I do, and I'm really nourished by it, I really like a 2010 song by Matthew West. I wonder if you've heard it on The Fish, maybe heard it on Sirius XM 63. It really speaks to my heart and speaks to our society today. And the name of the song is My Own Little World. I wonder if you'd listen and open your heart to what he says and notice the response of a grateful heart.
In my own little world, it hardly ever rains. I've never gone hungry, always felt safe. I got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population, me. I try to stay awake till it's Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. Turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yeah, it's easy to do when it's population, me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose? At a red light, looked out my window. I saw cardboard signs that held this homeless widow. And just above that sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by? Some money that I drove on through. In my own little world, rich population too. Oh, what if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now? Open hands and open doors. Put your light in my eyes and let me see that my own little world is not about me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now? I don't want to miss what matters.
I complete my commitment card for 2012 today. I'm praying that last line. Father, break my heart for what breaks yours. Give me open hands and open doors. Put your light in my eyes and let me see that my own little world is not about me. We conclude our service this morning and come to a time of response. I'd like for you, first of all, to find your white connection card. I'd just really like to know of your presence today, and I count it a great honor to pray with and for you, to sense your heartbeat, to intercede for you before the cross of Christ. I invite you to complete your card and fold it over and drop it in the offering basket as it passes by. I also invite you to prepare your morning offering, your heartbeat of love in negotiable form, your tangible commitment to God, thanking Him for His blessings and making an investment in multiplying your witness, your eagerness to do good. As the music plays, we'll give you a few minutes to complete your card and complete your offering. Then I invite you to drop them in the offering basket. Then after you've dropped your cards in the offering basket is your opportunity then to take your commitment card and bring it forward and lay it on the altar. Why are we doing that? Because these cards will be taken and immediately confidentially sealed. They will not be sorted by anybody. They will be confidentially sealed. And I invite you to bring these cards with me to the cross as your thank offering to God. As the music plays, I invite you to respond today. Just before we conclude our service this morning, I'm real proud to receive a new member into the life of our church, and I'd like to invite Jennifer Baker to come and Andrew, her husband, to stand with her. Andrew grew up in our church as a little boy, and I'm really proud of Andrew because he's lived into the call of God to do good. He's the Cub Master of our Cub Scout Pack 354 here, and is a great supporter of his brother-in-law, who happens to be Stanley Davidson, our children's minister. Andrew is one of those terminally talented kind of guys. He's a graduate of SCAD. He designs games. I mean, he just has a vision like, it's just incredible. Well, Andrew's not gifted alone. He has somebody really pretty sharp standing next to him who also a graduate of SCAD, Jennifer Baker. They've been married now for a little over a year. And this morning, Jennifer's coming to unite with our congregation by transfer of her church letter. And I'm just really proud to have this talented couple in the life of our church who are already getting busy. Let me ask you to pray for their particular ministry. They see themselves as a bridge between the older children and the younger youth. A place maybe you remember, 5th, 6th, 7th grade, sort of the early awkward years where you're not in really elementary anymore, but you still sort of cower before the big guys and girls. Aren't you glad these two have a heart for that sort of vulnerable age of adolescence? What do we call it? Puberty? Jennifer, I ask you these important questions of faith. Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ personally as your Savior and Lord? Do you? To the very best of your ability, do you receive the authority of the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, as the sufficient rule for our faith and practice as followers of Christ? I'm not asking you to be a Bible expert yet, but I am asking you to believe with me that contained in the pages of God's matchless Word is a true path to real freedom in faith and a life of godly integrity. Do you receive the authority of the Word of God? Then are you ready to roll up your sleeves and really get busy doing good for the kingdom of God? And will you support the Conyers First United Methodist Church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness for Jesus Christ? Will you? Then it's my joy to extend to you the right hand of friendship. I'd like to invite you to kneel. And Andrew's with you. Debbie Golden is our Director of Evangelism and Church Membership. She is the golden key, as it were, to coming into the membership of our great church. But, I'm really inspired by biblical symbolism. So, Jennifer, I'm going to offer you two biblical signs. First of all, the anointing with oil on your forehead. Remember how the psalmist said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Then what happens? "My cup runneth over." Oil through the Bible represents God's healing and restoring presence. Remember the Good Samaritan when he found the one who had been robbed and left for dead, poured oil on his wounds as a method of God's healing. Then the laying on of hands. Throughout the Bible, the laying on of hands confers spiritual authority. You don't rise from this place just as a member of Conyers First. You rise as a minister of our great church, and I gladly receive you now. We receive this person into the congregation of Christ's flock and sign her with the sign of the cross. in token that hereafter she shall not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified and fight under his banner against the world, the devil, and sin, and remain Christ's faithful soldier and servant until her life's end. Jennifer, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Rise now, minister of Conyers First, and turn to see your congregation. Smiles, please. I invite you to join me in receiving Jennifer into the life of the church. Brothers and sisters of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care Jennifer Baker, whom we this day receive into the membership of the Conyers First United Methodist Church. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. Let's respond together as we say, we rejoice to recognize you as a member of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation, Conyers First United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that's surrounded by steadfast love. You may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Following the benediction, I'm going to ask my friend Robin Payne to make some closing announcements, to invite you to coffee and donuts in the back of the fellowship hall, at the back of the student center. And at the same time, I hope you'll be among the first to put your arms around Jennifer Baker, the newest minister of the Conyers First Church. Would you please rise for the benediction? And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile. And best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. And with joy I mark you now belonging to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.